This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Today's show is a repeat of last week's show. Last week I had some serious internet issues, and I was just telling Linda Goldberg, who's my guest once again this week, because she deserves to get a do-over. In all honesty, what she was sharing last week was so insightful and so wonderful, we can't not have a recording of it. So hence why we are talking about baby milestones and movement, specifically tummy time, again today with Linda Goldberg, who's a physiotherapist. Again, last week, it was so crazy because I don't realize how good our internet is at home, in all honesty. So I'm very surprised how not so great other people's internet was. So that was my first realization, and how dependent I am on internet. I felt a little bit horrible without proper internet. And it made me think a little bit. So I definitely think I need a little bit of a detox away from internet. But I also forced my husband, because it was literally off from Wednesday last week until Monday this week. On and off, on and off. It felt a little bit like load shedding, internet shedding that I was experiencing. Today specifically, we are talking about, again, tummy time, baby milestones, and movement with Linda Goldberg, my guest. So, Linda, thank you so much again for joining me today. Like I said, I could hear everything you were saying, but no one could hear what I was saying. And that's why I thought, you know what, we need to do this over again, because it was such a wonderful topic to talk about. And I thank you for joining me again. And another shout out to your family, because I know that they're watching and we want to record it, and we want it official that other people are watching, not just my family are listening. Yours is also listening. How are you today, Linda?
I'm good, thank you. All good, and excited to be back on the show.
I don't know whether or not it's better to have all the things again or not, but we will find out. we do hear the word tummy time all the time. And I shared last week with my own experiences with tummy time with my children. I almost felt like my daughter was already doing tummy time inside my belly. She literally came out, and she was so strong. You know, like babies come out, they're all floppy and everything. She was not like that. I felt like she was seriously exercising inside my belly all the time as well, because she was quite strong when she came out. So tummy time for us was like a very like natural thing. On the contrary, my son, who had a serious reflux, tummy time was quite a difficult thing for us to do. But we hear this thing, tummy time, all the time. I think, again, less than what we did before. It's not so prevalent anymore. I even have clients that I assist, and then I tell them as newborns, you need to do tummy time, and then they don't even know what I'm talking about. But what exactly is tummy time, and why is it important?
Okay, so as you said, so rightly, is that, yeah, every baby is different. And therefore, we can't have one specific way of looking at things for every baby. But I think for everyone, tummy time is really important. So the actual definition, that's how serious tummy time has become, that we need to have a proper official definition of tummy time that they use in research. And that's how important it really is. It's not just like this in passing kind of thing that we mention. So tummy time is the amount of time that the baby spends on their tummy in their awake period, playing, interacting. So it's not that amount of time that babies are sleeping on their tummy. And as we know, and as we discussed last week, that, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics early 90s did introduce this back to sleep campaign, where all health workers all the time now recommend babies sleeping on their back. And that is when this whole evolution of the need for tummy time started, because parents were now spent, were so scared that never mind sleeping on their tummies, even when the babies were awake, they were nervous to put their babies on their tummy. And it just kind of fell by the wayside, this tummy time period, because babies were spending so much time on their backs now. So the actual definition of tummy time is, yeah, the amount of time we can get baby on their tummy during their awake periods, playing, interacting with the environment. And the importance of tummy time, sure, I can spend a whole hour on the importance of tummy time. So I'm just going to go into all the different things very briefly, because we did touch on it last time, but just for those parents or listeners that weren't in the show last week. So when, as Yolandi, as you mentioned, that when the baby comes out, they're actually not necessarily quite floppy. They can actually have a lot of what we call flexion tone. You know, that they come in, they're scrunched up, everything is in that flexed position because they've had limited space in the uterus. And now when they're coming out, we need to start working from top to bottom on getting, first of all, the muscles stretched out. So their tummy time is initially a good start of us moving from that flexion into opposite position, which is extension. So getting those tummy muscles all stretched out, getting those hip muscles, the shoulders, everything now needs to almost like unfurl so that we can get a nice variety of movement in the limbs, in the arms and the legs as the baby gets stronger. So that's the first benefit of tummy time, especially when the newborn stage, is that we're getting that stretching of all the muscles that need to be stretched. And it's not so much extra stretch, they just need to be the right length, because the right length muscle is a strong muscle. If it's too short, it's weak. If it's too long, it's weak. So we need to start there. Then we move into that tummy time, what it does for your neck muscles, your back muscles, all of that gets strengthened with tummy time, because they now all of a sudden have to move against gravity. So tummy time is the first time when they're now moving on their tummies against gravity, and all those muscles have to work in a very different manner that they've been working before. So that's the neck muscles, the back muscles. We need to get those arms strong. We need to get from the shoulder, elbow to the hands, all of that gets strengthened in tummy time position. And we see as the baby gets older and they do different things on their tummy, different stages, they're strengthening different areas of those upper limbs, of those arms. But all of that is essential for fine motor work later on, for activities of daily living, just being able to use your arms in the correct way with good muscle strength. So that's your shoulder girdle, stability, your hands. Then we also get in weight, in tummy time, they learn to weight shift, which is also a very basic building block of movement, is being able to shift our weight from one side of the body to the other side, which is what they practice a lot in tummy time. And that's in preparation for sitting, crawling, pulling to stand, walking, everything like that. And it's just an important opportunity for them to initiate movement and, very, very importantly, head shape. So, because we have a lot of sleeping on our back, we unfortunately are seeing a lot of babies with shapes of their heads, they're becoming flatter. And we need to give the baby an opportunity to get into different positions so that they're not always lying on their back. So tummy time is really, really important for head shape, but that's a whole show all on its own. Because yeah, that's a, I think every therapist sees a lot of that in their practice. Yeah, and it works, you know, the visual system, tummy time is important. And as I mentioned last week, I'm obviously coming from a physio lens, but if you had an OT on the show or a speech therapist, they would have also other areas that tummy time helps with oral motor control, with sensory. So there are just so many elements that are important with tummy time.
Well, And I mean, for me, it's a very big thing is also this whole body thing that we are mentioning and how intertwined the body is, because one thing leads to the next thing, leads to the next thing, but also not, it sounds like it's separate things, but in all essence, it's all these different things within the body that's working together to get to a different point.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're having a bit of a redo of last week's show where we're talking about tummy time. And I think the importance of redoing the show is also, I want to highlight that. And that's why I wanted to do it over. First of all, you can hear that Linda knows exactly what she's talking about. Linda Goldberg. So she's a physiotherapist also within our community. So it's easy to reach her. And she clearly knows what she's talking about. And I really felt that it was necessary to share this, because as we went just now to ad break, she was highlighting how, you know, something as silly in some ways as tummy time has such a huge impact on the development of your child in various different ways. Yes, it's like a little ladder of things, like your child has to hold up their head to be able to sit, to be able to walk and whatever, but those are seen as separate things. But in a whole lot of things, it's also, you're integrated. And I mean, you mentioned as well, Linda, that you are now talking from a physio perspective, but obviously if I'm speaking to an OT or a speech therapist, they might have different things that they're highlighting why tummy time is important. And again, just highlighting that integration of the body where something is not separate necessarily, but a whole that we're working on. And I love that. For me, that's important for parents to understand as well, because even I remember that my son, he went for OT when he was, he started with speech therapy. And the speech therapist then recommended him also going to an occupational therapist because of things that she realized. And they work together literally in combination with each other to complement the therapy in the end of the day, each working on that. But that brings me to my next question. Of course, as always, if you've missed the show thus far, don't stress. This show and all of my shows are available as a podcast for you to go listen to. So please go look at Chai FM. We've got a whole variety of wonderful topics that we have covered in the past. But we also want you to be part of this conversation. So Linda's parents, please send us a WhatsApp to say, I'm happy to hear Linda's on again. We would love to hear from you. But specifically, if you have questions for Linda, you can send them on 061-895-1019. It's 061-895-1019. If you haven't downloaded our app, do so. You can just click on WhatsApp or through the app and you can contact us directly and be part of the conversation as always. Again, Linda, we mentioned now that tummy time is in essence the starting point, and it's not even the starting point. I think coming out of being bored is the starting point. But like I said, even before that, my daughter was already exercising my belly. So it starts with the sperm and the egg comes together. But it's kind of like this building up to these milestones in the end of the day. And I think that also is for parents. And I see it so many times where you can't help, I guess, but compare your baby with another baby. And I mean, I was always fascinated because obviously I have a son and a daughter, and my son only walked when he was like 15 months. My daughter already walked when she was 11 months. But then on the other hand, my son spoke like he's still speaking. I mean, my daughter has caught up as well in that regard. But how these different milestones are reached. But what are some red flags, I guess, rather, that we want to talk about that parents should keep an eye on? Because sometimes I mean, tummy time happens, but maybe it doesn't happen the way it should, or they don't sit as, I don't know. There's sometimes babies don't crawl, they just go to walking. But what are some red flags that parents should keep an eye on, and when should they be seeking professional help?
Okay, so this is a huge amount of information. So I hope I can keep it short and succinct. So I think the first thing to mention is that we do have a guideline of developmental milestones. So it's not that, you know, we each decide for ourselves as therapists what is meant to happen at what stage. The Center for Disease Control in America issues this, as I say, this broad guideline of milestone development. And I think the important thing for me to mention is that it's a guideline. It is not specifically evidence-based. It's just kind of, they look and see what your average child is doing at a certain age, what 75% of babies at that age are doing. And that becomes, for us as therapists and healthcare workers, something that a benchmark, that we've got something to compare it to. But as you've alluded to continuously, is that every child is so different. And there are so many factors that influence development. And I think when it comes to the red flags, the first thing obviously we need to look for as therapists is if there's a neurological component that we are seeing in a session, you know, or so this is someone that's coming in, the parent is worried, they've been comparing their child to someone else, to their neighbor, to their friend's child, and they're just not sure if everything is okay. So the first thing we always have to eliminate is their neurological component. And when we look at a baby, a toddler, or an older child when they come into the therapy room, we're not necessarily using that checklist, right? This is how old you are. This is what the child has to do. And there's a problem if they're not doing it. We look at quality of movement, how the child is moving, what is causing them to move. Are they choosing to move? So that's why that's the first thing, that red flag. And obviously for a parent who's not trained, that's not necessarily something they can pick up straight away. But that, I always say that, for me, the biggest red flag is a parent's gut feeling. And often the parent just has this feeling that something is not right or something is not okay. And I always listen, you know, when a mom or dad phones me and says, I'm not sure if I should come, but there's something that I'm not happy with. I straight away say, you need to come and, you know, and let's look. But those red flags are, you know, from a neurological point of view, is are they using one side of their body differently to the other? Do they appear very stiff? Are they avoiding movements? Are they moving too much? You know, there's so many different things as red flags from a neurological point of view. But it's really that very like stiffness, that floppiness, that a parent might actually, you know, pick up straight away. So that gut, parent's gut feeling, is really important. The other red flag is if you feel your child has almost like reached a plateau. So for weeks and weeks, there is no change. And we know that babies typically do have developmental plateaus. If they're working on sitting, they might not improve in another area. If they're working on crawling, their speech might not, you know, so there is this competition for, you know, development that's going on in that brain. But if that's been a long time and you're just seeing that your baby or your toddler is just not changing, that in a, you know, because as I mentioned last week, children, babies are wired to move. We don't have to teach them to move. So it's when they also reach that plateau, that where there's just not much happening, then it's important to check. And, you know, it's as physios and other therapists, we can't diagnose a neurological condition. We can see it, we can suspect it, but then it's always up to the pediatrician to check. So I think for a parent, if there's something that is not sitting right, is either to reach out to a therapist or to their pediatrician, and it is worthwhile then just going and have a check to see. Because, as I say, it's that gut feel, or if there's something as obvious as a child is moving in a way that they're not happy.
Yeah, I know. I think in the end, for me, also, it's so easy. I mean, it's very accessible these days to go, even just seeing a clinic, a nurse, and things like that. If you're worried, rather get it checked out. And I feel I hated it when people told me follow your gut feeling because I never felt I had a motherly instinct at all. But surprisingly, I can tell you, we all do have it. And sometimes I think gets filtered out by the noise of everything and obviously self-doubt and all those type of things. But in the end, if you've got a feeling, like Linda said, rather just get it checked out by someone. And it's so, like I said, luckily we have also Linda in our community to help with those type of things. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM. This is Bump and Beyond. With me, your host, Yolande Becker, and we're talking about development, babies' development, and specifically tummy time and how these different milestones impact and when you should be worried about it a little bit. As always, of course, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have any questions for Linda, tell us if you struggled with certain develop or if you realize certain development milestones. That your child, is it one of those super developers that started walking when they were like 9 months or something? I think that's maybe a little bit early. But or were you like my son? He only walked, I think he was just so lazy. He's still a little bit lazy. started walking a lot later. Share with us on 061-895-1019. We would love to hear from you on how your child is developing. But now we spoke about those red flags that parents should watch out for, that they should follow. But what would you say to parents who feel anxious because their babies are not doing what they're supposed to be doing?
So I think first off, often if I explain to them that range of normal, in inverted commas, normal, because I think, on with social media, every baby is walking at, as you say, at 11, 12 months. They're talking at 12 months. There's this overload of information because, the parents, only the parents with those exceptional, as you say, early developers, and we get them. We call it precocious, development, where they do walk at 10 months. Those are the parents that are putting that stuff out on social media. But that's very few and far between. We're not seeing your average, child that's just getting there and doing everything that they need to do. So I think the important thing is explaining to the parents that there is a range of normal. And just also, once we've analyzed and we've looked at the baby and saying to them, well, this is why they are finding it hard to move. It's not neurological. Possibly they've been contained for too much. They haven't had that opportunity to spend time. So I think parents just want to know that why my baby isn't doing what they're doing. And obviously, unfortunately, there are times when we're like, oh, okay, this is a neurological condition that we need to, and we would never tell that the parent straight away. It obviously has to, but generally I find most of the times it's just, as I mentioned last week, that development is like a brick wall, and then layer upon layer upon layer of bricks we lay down till we're getting, and it's an endless wall because there's so many, development doesn't stop at walking or talking. There's just so much development. And it's often just being able to show the parents those few bricks that are missing in the wall. And that can not necessarily mean that your child has to have ongoing therapy. It's sometimes all it takes is one session and a home program. And then the parents are like, sure, you just see them like that relief wash over them that, it's that parent guilt. We
No.
always have that parent guilt that there's something I've done. That's why my child at 15 months isn't walking. Where it's absolutely can be, it's not normal walking is 12 to 18 months and even
Oh.
beyond, depending. So it's that just a la first of all, taking that guilt out the picture, And just trying to make them understand that it's okay. We, you know, your child, we just need to give that little bit of input here and there, and things should just then start falling into place. So I think that just having that one-on-one conversation with a parent makes it so much easier for them. And then they're happy to, you know, they get it. They're like, oh, okay, my child is fine. We carry on. My child is fine. They just need a little bit of a push here and there.
One of the things that you just mentioned, though, that I want to ask about is that you said they don't always have the opportunity for movement. And I mean, in this day and age, I mean, you get so many gadgets and stuff. are things like car seats and bouncers, walkers, affecting babies' movement and development?
100%. We call it containment syndrome. That, you know, again, just like tummy time has an actual definition, even we have this, you know, everything's now got an actual name to it. Because, and yeah, the more the gadgets, the more stuff that we introduce and the more containment, definitely it impacts. The babies need to be on the floor, on their tummy, on their back, moving. So what I say to my parents, that there are times during the day, you know, mom, you need to go to the bathroom and you need to maybe have the baby close by or whatever, you need to cook supper. There are times during the day when containment is fine. Or if you're having in those early days a baby with a lot of sensory and dysregulation, then we may have a, you know, more containment. But my rule is, you know, and I think it's not just my rule, all therapists, as little containment. Car seat, non-negotiable. That is a containment that is non-negotiable. The problem comes in is if a baby is spending the whole afternoon in the car seat, because they're going with older sibling to different. So I often will say to the mom, well, then you need to have a blanket that during swimming time that the baby's not in their doona, because that goes from the car into wherever, take them out of their containment on the floor, you know, so you have to be prepared then. But generally, as I say, it's not even negotiable, car seat, but everything else, they're really as minimal as possible containment. It takes away movement. It takes away exploration. It takes away sensory input. It just impacts problem solving. You know, movement also helps with problem solving. That, you know, brain, I mean, normal development or movement, it's a brain skill. So that's all elements of brain skills. So containment is just, it's a no-no. Walking rings, no-no. And that's what we spend a lot of our sessions explaining to parents.
And again, once again, just highlighting like movement with the brain, the body is a very integrated system. Nothing works in isolation. And movement helps brain development and a gazillion other things. Again, car seat, non-negotiable, of course, in the car. It doesn't mean your child has to stay in the car seat all the time. And I mean, I've even seen at kindergartens where babies take naps in car seats. It's not a good place for babies to spend a lot of time in.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning. Yes, you are on 101.9 Hive M. This is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. It's already 22:10, so you've missed a bit of the show already. But don't despair. Luckily, my show and all of the shows on Hive M are available as podcasts on our app as well as on our website, hivefm.com, for you to go listen to. So whenever you have a moment when you're cooking dinner and you want to learn more about parenting, please go have a listen. It's really honestly one of my greatest blessings and privileges that I am able to join you on the journey of your parenting. So thank you for allowing me to be part of that and for allowing me to get expert guests like Linda Goldberg who's joining me today. Linda, really, I mean, you can hear the passion, you can hear the knowledge. It's really, it's wonderful chatting with you. I'm learning quite a lot as well. And I thought I knew quite a lot about development already. I'm going to be sounding smarter after this. Again, we now talked about free movement and we don't want children to be playing or be contained too much during the day. But what are some like easy activities that parents can do throughout the day to encourage this healthy development without feeling pressured as well? I think sometimes tummy time is also one aspect of it. Once they get older, they obviously can do different things. But what are some easy activities parents can do?
Okay, so if we're focusing on tummy time, and I think we touched on it last week, is that tummy time starts like straight, you know, you get home after having your baby, tummy time starts day one, day two. And obviously, as depending on the age of your baby and depending on their abilities, that your positions of tummy time change and the amount of time that you spending on your tummy. And I think I just want to, in case we, I don't get to say this, but again, this isn't evidence-based, but by the age of like 3 months, we want at least half an hour a day on the tummy. And by 5 to 6 months, we want at least an hour. And when and when we talk about those amounts of times, it's not an hour at a time. You know, it's or half an hour or 20 minutes. It's broken up. So each awake period, and as we know, with the different age of your baby, it's going to change how much time they are awake in between feeds. But in each awake period, we should be getting some tummy time and some back time and some interaction with a parent or with a caregiver. So, you know, it's for specifically for tummy time, as I say, the position may vary. We start off easy on the chest or on the lap or that tiger in the tree hold. That's for your very, very small babies. And then as they progress and get stronger, that's when you move onto the mat, onto, you know, on the bed with under supervision. You may need to use a rolled up towel underneath their chest to help them, using a mirror, using a toy, and using your face. Like that's really important. And the important part is that to get the baby to stay longer on their tummy, they need to be happy. So you need to choose a good time when you are doing these, whatever activity it is. No. When they're hungry, if they're tired, that is not the time for tummy time. That is just going to become a nightmare. And that's why they're fussing on their tummy or because it's a bad time. So, but the important thing is biomechanically at 2 months, they can't lift their head up really high. So if you just put them on the mat and walk away, they're all going to fuss. So it's being like, so often show my moms and my dads, they have to get onto the floor, eye level with their baby. So they've got that visual attention because at this stage, they've got that visual gaze. So it's interacting with your baby when they're on their tummy time, whether it's with toys or your face or you, a sibling. It always works beautifully when a sibling helps with tummy time because they feel like they're part of the whole journey of raising their younger sibling. So they, you know, always they love it when they think they've taught their younger brother or sister how to crawl or how to walk. Give them that opportunity. And so a lot of time, you know, just on their tummy, on their back, under a play gym, playing with, you know, so they're practicing initially that visual gaze so they can look at things. Then they as they get stronger, those arms move away up against gravity, and that's when they start reaching for things. So it's just, you know, it's a lot to describe, but you really want that opportunity during the day where they are free to be on their backs, looking around on their tummies as they're getting older, and also activities on your lap. There's so much that you can do with your baby during the day. And that's when containment, you know, because if they're contained, then they're not getting that opportunity. So yeah, it's really that interaction, that one-on-one, and it doesn't. There can be various. It can be granny. It can be Zayda. It can be the nanny. You know, everyone can be given some time to spend with the baby. So the mom or dad, it's not just on their shoulders that now they have to do. I mean, people go back to work. That's how, you know, how it is. So really, just spreading that load amongst everyone in the household, that everyone gets a chance to get that baby on moving and interacting with the environment.
No. And I love also what you're saying, like the bonding for me. That's all that I'm hearing. Brother can be part of it, mom can be part of it, and undistracted time. It's not the time to leave your, obviously your baby's gonna cry if you just leave them there on their belly. So it is important to again be there and interacting and bonding with them. It's such a wonderful bonding opportunity. And with small babies as well, like you said, even if you put them on your chest, I always say skin to skin, that first 3 months is a wonderful thing in the beginning. Especially if you're not breastfeeding, you need to do some skin to skin as well, because it really does help with those happy hormones. Linda, it's been a wonderful conversation with you. Before you go, please can you let us know where people can find you?
Okay, I can give you my cell number.
Yes.
It's 082-519-1447. But as I said last week, we have an amazing amount of therapists in our community. So if there's any parents that are feeling any red flags, just reach out to someone and trust your gut feel. That's my
No.
message. You know, trust your gut. It may just need one session just to, you know, let you understand where your baby is in the developmental trajectory, and it's really helpful.
Great. Linda, you're coming on again. This was really great. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure, and goodbye to all the listeners. Have a great day
Yes.
further.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, just like that, another show has come to an end. It's 101.9 Chai FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. Luckily, as always, I am joined for a last bit of nugget on this topic by Lizal Fouri, who's the clinic, a regional clinic manager for Dis-Chem. Hi, Lizal, how are you today?
Hi, Yolandi. Good, and you?
Just fine. Please remind us, because we were now talking about some tummy time things and some easy activities that parents can include. But there's lots of cool things at Baby City and at Dis-Chem that can help with tummy time.
Yes, so we have lots of play mats that you can buy that's really comfortable for baby as well. And it's very colorful, so they enjoy lying on it. And I think we also have great books that you can actually put in front of them, which helps a lot with their development, especially for the colors they can see at that age. So like a yellow, black and white little book. You can even get those little mirrors that you can put in front of them. So that just keeps their attention span a little bit while they're actually on the playmat.
You know, I also sometimes feel, because I mean, that's not from my own experience, like stuff like that is sometimes also helpful as a parent. To be honest, like so, you can also only be so entertaining for so long with a baby, because they are a little bit boring as well sometimes.
Yeah.
So just to have something where you could be like, ooh, look, there's a cow.
Exactly. It just keeps them entertained, because some of them really don't enjoy tummy time, but it is very important for the development. But then at least you can make it enjoyable for them with other little nuggets that they can play with or see or interact with.
Yeah. And like I said, just help us also a little bit so that we don't have to think of all the stuff that we have to use for entertainment.
Yes,
but yes.
Definitely.
But yeah, Lizal, another thing also, obviously the clinic nurses at Baby City and at Dis-Chem also can help if there are some red flags. They should be able, because I mentioned that earlier already, to say that if you're worried about your baby, then if they're developing correctly, a great place is to go, or a starting point is a clinic nurse.
Yes, definitely. So that's literally one of our jobs when they come in for a consultation is to check their milestone and their developments. And we usually put them on their tummy to see if how they react and can they hold their neck up. And so we can definitely identify red flags if we need to.
Wonderful. Lizelle, as always, it was wonderful having you on the show. Thank you so much for your insights, and I look forward to chatting to you next week.
Thank you, Yolanda. Have a great week.
Thank you. And on that note, like I said, another show has come to an end, and it was a wonderful show. Even if it was a slight do-over from last week, we added some extra insights because we had less technical issues. But as always, please remember that I am here to help and to inform. I'm not here to prescribe. I'm only giving you different options, introducing you to some of the people in our community. So please take what resonates with you and leave what doesn't. It's absolutely okay because you are your child's parent. And like my guest Linda Goldberg mentioned, is follow your gut, follow your instincts. You've got them, even when it feels like you don't. Don't let us pressure you into thinking you don't have them or that you do miraculously wake up and you have them. You will be surprised. And if they're not there yet, they'll come. Don't worry. As always, the most important thing and the most best example we can give our children is the example of kindness. So let's go out there, be kind to ourselves, and be kind to others. Have a wonderful day. Bye.